This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Welcome to a Memorial Day weekend show. David, how are you?
Good morning, Dayton. Good morning, everybody. I'm good.
Good morning. You? I'm good. It's Lucky Penny Day, which can we celebrate that anymore? We're not making pennies.
Use pennies? Everywhere I seem to go,
nobody does anymore.
Like, you just Quick Trip and other places around. I'm surprised Quick Trip actually rounds down, no matter what it is.
Yeah, if you're like at the four penny, it goes down.
Yeah, or nine, they'll round down.
Yeah, you would think there'd be a break.
But if you're paying with a car, they charge you their full price. So
do they?
Yeah, so only cash do they round down.
Interesting. So you could save a little money by paying cash.
Yep,
so save like 4 cents.
Yep.
Be awesome.
But anyways.
It's also, Isaac, in the producer's booth, it is World Turtle Day.
World Turtle.
Turtle.
Yeah. I'll have to catch that movie. I didn't.
You don't really have to catch. Nope. Master of Disguise with Dana Carvey was, that's got to be what, early 2000s, maybe 90s even. That's from one of the scenes in there. Okay. It's a very weird movie, but kind of like a cult classic with my family because we watched it when the kids were young and they thought it was very funny.
Why is it World Turtle Day?
I don't know. You're supposed to celebrate turtles,
you know,
I guess.
You know, amazingly enough, I was going to an inspection on Wednesday, I don't remember, earlier this week, driving up to Hustisford. Anybody know where that is? It's north of Oconomowoc.
Been there many times.
Yeah. And as I'm driving on the highway EE there and everything, I went by and I'm like, what is that? Well, I pulled over and it was a turtle in the middle of the road. I helped it across the road.
Oh, you're so
nice. It did look like it gotten hit already, but it was still alive. So I did help it across. So I did my part.
Okay.
I didn't know it was World Turtle Day, but I felt
hero to all the turtles.
I wasn't running late, so I figured I can pull over and help the turtle across the road.
Home inspector extraordinaire, turtle saver.
Sure.
Who knew?
Yes.
Who knew? So, welcome to the show. We have no guests this hour,
right,
as you can probably tell, because
right,
we're talking quite a bit here by ourselves. So, been a busy week for you again. It's nonstop.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in the world, but people are fixing up their houses. And are people buying houses, or are you just doing more consultation stuff?
No, I think the real estate market's pretty healthy right now.
Okay.
Do seem to see more larger homes.
Okay.
You know, so that it seems like the people probably have the means are buying larger homes, lake homes, that kind of thing. But there's some other ones sprinkled in there. I did help some people who are big fans of the show, so they might be listening. Stopped over on Thursday afternoon, and they had bought their house without an inspection. And they knew that you know, they were doing that, but obviously that's not what I recommend. But I spent a couple hours there going through their house with them and pointing out some things that they need to keep an eye on or correct or improve and help them out, and gave them one of Tom's How to Operate Your Home book. So they're happy to have that. So
Tom Faza, the OG,
right?
Mr. Fix-It, how many years did he do this
show? Like 25 years or something like that.
Had that book. But what did you find with your in your dad's house, or your dad found it?
He might have to text me and remind me where he found this. But it's a book. It's really one of these. It's bound with one of the plastic spiral things. But
if you're watching, hold it up. And if somebody's watching on YouTube or on the stream there.
Yeah.
So as Good as New, it's called.
Right. A Guide for Rehabilitating the Exterior of your Old Milwaukee Home. So it's got a lot of pictures, and it talks about historical architectural styles in Milwaukee.
It's really a
and
cool book.
Not only does it talk about old styles and everything, it actually gives addresses of the homes that are in the pictures. So you could literally take this and go around the city of Milwaukee and see if these old houses are still here. And it talks about energy consultation. But as I mentioned, it's got some details of railings and everything that you see, cornices and everything. Really, really neat. As kind of an architectural historian myself, I wouldn't, that's not what I do, but I really If I'm going to inspect a home, if I'm seeing an old, historically significant home, okay, that's really cool. Like the, what's her name? The mansion on Lake Drive, it's a famous family here in that was in Milwaukee here. And they took the mansion, they turned it into four condos.
Okay.
And I inspected one of the condos, but just being on that property was like, oh, this is really cool. Cool view of the lake and everything.
Yeah.
So this is something that someday I'll probably just kind of look through and yeah. Oh, that's a cool
house.
It's
really neat to see all the different architectural styles right next to each other in a book like that.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool. All right. So if you have questions today, we can talk about anything this first hour. Mm-hmm. Matt Hefter from CertaPro Painters is on next hour. So save painting questions for hour number two. But anything else, let's talk. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line. Dayton Kane, David Nason, Isaac in the producer's booth. It is the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
The Fix-It Show with Dayton Kane and David Nason on WTMJ.
Partly cloudy, 62 for a high near the lake, 70 inland. It's going to be a nice day and just getting better as the weekend goes on.
Right.
So perfect for the unofficial start to summer.
Right.
It is Memorial Day weekend. Right. So
as Abraham Lincoln said, we honor those who gave the last full measure of devotion. So basically those who died in service to our country. So
you're a veteran, so you're saying don't thank a veteran.
Well, I'm not saying don't thank a veteran.
It's not Veterans Day.
But it's not Veterans
Day.
It's not to say, hey, thank you, veterans.
Yeah.
That's November 11th.
Yeah. So I mean, we can thank a veteran every day.
Always.
Anytime you meet
you
a veteran.
You should always,
thank them.
Absolutely.
But this but isn't what this is for.
Or Monday
this
is
weekend.
About. So, like Oconomowoc, every Memorial Day, we have a program and a ceremony at the Bandshell on the city beach there. It's amazing. If you're out in Lake Country, I don't know if other cities have one, but we do. So I would encourage you to join. 3 p.m. is like the official time of remembrance.
Okay.
And so I've heard like Fleet Farms are doing something out in front of their stores, every store, where they're going to have a bugler.
Oh,
playing taps
cool.
At 3 p.m. So
good tribute.
That's the actual time, but absolutely Monday. If you can go to a ceremony, I would encourage you to do so.
Yes, do so.
Mm-hmm.
Make that tribute.
Yeah.
And it is the first weekend
like
of
said,
summer,
start
so
of summer.
To speak.
It's
so.
Kind of the official, even though the meteorological start is not until, June 21st?
Yeah, it's not like halfway through the summer in our mind, right?
Exactly.
So we do have a caller. Let's go to John in Greendale. Good morning, John. Thanks for listening to the show. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm replacing a dimmer switch in my kitchen. I take out the old dimmer switch that's not working, and it has two black wires and a ground wire, the bare one. Well, the new dimmer switches I buy, they have four wires. They say they're three-way. I can't find a single pole old-fashioned dimmer switch. So the new wires, they got four wires. There's two black, bare ground, and a red and a white wire. What do I do with this extra wire, and which ones do I hook up?
That's a great question.
You know, that is a good question. I have told people during my inspections, I think two of the most difficult things to wire are three-way switches.
Yeah.
And when you have to control an outlet with a switch. And so I'm not 100% sure. I'm not sure why you can't find a single pole dimmer switch. There's probably an electrician listening, whether it's Jason Fox from Capital or others, who are probably yelling at their radio telling us how. But
well, if they're listening, call in and let us know.
Right, because I'm not sure. And I've told people, I've said this on the show many times, I know a fair amount about electrical, but I don't always tell people how to do electrical repairs, because if you do something wrong, you might shock yourself or electrocute yourself, but B, you could start an electrical fire. So stuff like that's best left to an electrician. I hesitate to even say check YouTube, but I don't know why you can't find a single pole dimmer. But what I do know about dimmers is that you do need to make sure that your dimmer matches the fixture that you're dimming. And what I'm talking about is that dimmers have a, they have a wattage rating on them. So if your dimmer is a lower wattage, you know, you count all the light bulbs, and if you got a big chandelier like in your dining room, if it's, if they're not compatible, that dimmer will literally be like burning in the, in the it's not handling it properly. And so you can have, you can run into a problem with that. Also, more and more everybody's got LED bulbs, and so many LED bulbs aren't dimmable. Or again, if the dimmer is not compatible, your lights will flicker. Your LED lights will flicker and everything. So I appreciate the call and everything, but it's a little bit beyond my knowledge of electrical, and I really do suggest you call an electrician.
Or if an electrician wants to call us, give a shout out to your company, let us know the answer.
Right.
855-616-1620. John, thank you for the phone call, and thanks for listening. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. Renee asked, could you please repeat the name of the book you mentioned about Milwaukee and the old houses?
Yeah, so it's called As Good as New, A Guide for Rehabilitating the Exterior of Your Old Milwaukee Home.
My guess, the only place you'll be able to find that's a library, possibly.
Maybe.
Because it is kind of a historical Milwaukee book.
So, prepared by Paul Jakubowicz, preservation consultant for the city of Wisconsin. So, it was published when John Norquist was mayor.
Okay.
This book may be ordered from the Department of City Development Historic Preservation Planning Staff in Milwaukee. So, from July 1993. So, you might be able to find a copy.
That's only from 1993,
but it looks a lot older than that.
It's a lot older than that.
Yeah. So somebody I know pretty well and we've talked about says that he's in this book, and I think I found him. Bingo Emmons from Creative Construction.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure I found a picture of him working on a chimney.
As a young buck?
Yeah. Well, a little younger than he is today, but he's still pretty young.
What is that, 35 years ago now?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So pretty cool stuff, though.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your texts coming in. I see them, 855-616-1620. Thanks for listening to The Fix-It Show.
WTMJ's The Fix-It Show with David Nason and Dayton Kane.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. I was just texting Rose Gray. Good morning. She texted in testing her line for later in the morning.
So a listener reminded me, thank you very much. So the Eline Mansion is the one that I was looking at. And yes, they ran the Schlitz Brewery.
Nice. Unfortunately, but now it's condos.
Coming to an end, the Schlitz Brewery.
I want to go buy some.
Go get some Schlitz beer.
Just to drink it? No, you can't hang on a beer. It'll eventually go bad. But just to say I had it while it was still around still. You know, isn't that the way people work? It's just bizarre. So, like, the Oscars burned down in Waukesha. I don't know if you heard of it. Like, Oscars, it's like a burger joint.
Oh, yeah. We went the other night. We went last
week. Well, that's what I was going to say.
So crazy busy.
That's what.
Good for them.
I know, but it's like I drove by there not knowing. I forgot it was opening day when I drove by there. There were, like, miles of cars lined up waiting to get a burger. I'm like, what are you people doing?
What
I mean, I get support the local business, but I'm going to wait 2 weeks and then come support them when I can get in without having to wait.
We went on, was it Friday or Saturday? Where did we go? We went somewhere, I'm drawing a blank where we went, but we stopped at Oscars on the way home.
Okay.
And I feel bad for the Taco Bell. People were parking in the Taco Bell parking lot and walking over to the Oscars and everything. But,
funny.
Very busy. Good for them.
Okay, so somebody texted in with an LP SmartSide question. About 4 years ago, we had our siding replaced with LP SmartSide. Most of it looks beautiful. But this spring, I see that cracks have appeared in a couple of the boards. Should that be happening? I thought that material was virtually indestructible, maintenance-free. First of all, nothing's maintenance-free.
Yeah.
But secondly, yes, that should not be happening. I wonder if it's lower, like where it could be soaking up some water maybe. But either way, if I would reach out to my whoever installed it.
Have you ever seen LP SmartSide crack?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so it makes me...
Are you thinking it's fiber cement?
Yes. Because fiber cement boards crack. Yeah. I've not personally seen LP SmartSide crack.
I haven't either. And I mean, that's why I'm saying if it
can get damaged. It can, even though it's a engineered product, and both of them are. They can absorb moisture, and they can swell
if they're sitting in water.
Right.
Like if you got it installed too low,
or the edges aren't painted, or
right,
something.
Or they didn't paint the edges. But no, that should not be happening. So yeah, I would be calling whoever installed it for you and having them come look at it.
It could be a material defect.
Right.
And that so should be covered. Then you could have a warranty on that. So
yeah, because this is 4 years ago. LP SmartSide has a 30-year warranty on it.
Yeah.
For the board itself.
For the board itself.
Right. As long as it's installed properly.
Right. That might be the issue.
Right. So that's why I'm saying I wouldn't call LP SmartSide or a rep there. I would call whoever installed it and have them come look at
it. Right. And LP, you probably know, they warranty their boards individually.
Right.
So if you have a house cover, my house is covered in LP SmartSide and trim, and if I have a problem with one board, that board is covered. The house is not. It's not like, oh, you got to rip everything off the house because the warranty covered it. No, the warranty is going to cover that board. But again, like you said, if as long as it's installed correctly, proper clearances, nailing properly, things like that.
Yeah. Shouldn't be cracking.
No.
So thanks for the text. Appreciate that. One quick one here says, in my house, 1964, the red wire on a switch was to control an outlet for the table lamp. Says we didn't have overhead lights.
The other thing too, that with caution, I'm saying if you have outlets that, or if you have a switch in your house, like this is a mystery switch, it's not operating something, and in a room where you don't have a ceiling fixture, it's probably trying to, or was supposed to, control half of an outlet.
Yeah.
And if you don't break off the brass jumper on the side of the outlet, so if you look at an outlet, there's a little brass or cop brass probably, you got to break that off with a needle nose pliers.
Okay.
And then if you're wired it correctly, it should work.
Where it's all these things that you need to be careful with when it comes to electricity. Right. All right. We are going to take a break. We'll love to hear from you, though. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Let's say good morning to Elizabeth Lintonen in the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Good morning.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Thank you for joining us. 2.5 games in first place. Brewers taking on the Dodgers. 6:15 first pitch at AmFam Field. They're 30-18 right now.
And you know, was it like just 2 weeks ago they were literally almost in last place?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So just like last year, where they kind of, you know, a little bit, you know, or they got swept by the Yankees to start last year, and they kind of all of a sudden they just took off and.
Nice. So it is Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to get their grills out, maybe go tailgating.
Yeah.
Now, that's a different grill than you have at your house, probably, I'm guessing.
But you still got to be safe.
So when you pull the grill out of the shed or the garage or wherever you had it all winter long,
uncover it from
one thing you should do first is uncover it, check it for mice, check it for things that grew in there, whatever. Like, check it before you light it, right?
Right.
The other thing you need to be very careful of is not to light it too close to your vinyl siding.
Right.
Because you will melt it.
Or start your house on fire. Back when I was working in fire and water restoration, we would have fires where the back of the house would start on fire.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, just grow right up the side of the house and everything. So, yeah, you can either melt your siding or start your house on fire. So, absolutely.
So, yes. So, make sure you're preparing properly when you're getting ready to grill this weekend and your brats are on the grill and tasty, not your house on fire or melted.
Right.
Okay. Another thing that you should be doing, it says here, I'm just looking at Bob Vila's little, springtime type thing. Sharpen your lawnmower blades.
Oh.
How many people do that themselves or do that ever?
Yeah, I admit that I bought my lawnmower last year. I haven't sharpened the blade yet. I did check it, and it seemed kind of sharp, although I got a little ding in it. I don't know what that's from.
Hmm. So but, yeah, that's something, though, that you have to make sure it's balanced. You got to keep it on the right track. You can't just grind down one side, grind down the other, and think you did it right.
I famously admitted that my old lawnmower, I hit, I think, the blue water main cover thing in the... And it took a chunk out of one end of the blade, and so it was out of balance. So I took the blade off, and I cut about an equal amount off the other end of the blade. Now, it was an old lawnmower. I knew I was going to be getting a new one. But, you know, a certain person who used to be on the show just, you know, it was like a head slap. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I said, well, it balanced it. Not recommended.
Go buy a new one.
Yeah, I ended up getting me a whole new lawnmower.
That's funny. So I went into my shed. So the other thing on here says organize your shed and your garage. I went into my shed this week, I think it was, and a mouse ran out. I'm like, oh, come on. Where are you nesting in my shed? So now I got to go through all my stuff, because if you don't get them out of there, now it's going to stink, yeah. And you're going to get, I was not happy.
I have a detached garage, and I have an upper level to it, a storage area. And I go up there looking for stuff every once in a while, and you can see, you know, whether it's bird food or just stuff up there. You can tell there's been animals up there. But if you leave your garage door open, or, you know, if I'm doing the way my garage door faces right into my yard, we leave our garage doors open quite a bit. How are you going to stop birds and chipmunks and mice from going in there? So just if you got something that you don't want chewed on, you just got to put it in a container that they can't get into, essentially. Well, that's how I deal with it.
I actually have a little mouse trap in my shed. I'm like, go eat that. Get that and get out of my shed.
The thing is, I always kind of wonder about pest management companies. They put, you see them around the outside of the house, these traps and everything. It's like, okay, you put the trap right there, but what about, you know, 50 feet away in the garden? Aren't there animals over in that garden area? I mean, you're outside. It's kind of like running a dehumidifier outside. You know, you're going to dehumidifier the entire earth, you know, kind of thing.
No, but it helps. So I put one of those next to, I knew there was one area where mice were coming in, and I finally found the hole. I think I told you this a couple months ago. Yeah. I finally found it. But prior to that, I put one of those right outside that wall. And I'm like, I'm going to stop them before they come in the house. And it actually, I think, worked. I had caught a few in there. Now, I'm going to keep catching them as long as I see, because they live out there, right?
Yeah,
so I'm going to catch mice out there. But I guess if I can catch them before they get in my house, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll seal up that hole. Yeah. I did find the hole, and I did seal it up, and I haven't had a mouse since, knock on wood.
Speaking of which, people ask me all the time, and the people I went to see on Thursday had evidence of mice in their attic, and I see that very often. Probably more than most people believe.
Oh, sure.
Probably 6 to 7 out of 10 addicts have evidence of mice. And by when I say evidence, your insulation, if you have blown in insulation, it should be nice level blanket. If you go up there and it looks like, you know, say out in the Badlands or South Dakota where you see these little mountains of insulation, and it looks like maybe those are trails around. Yeah, those are trails. And then if you see little inch diameter holes in the insulation, those are tunnels. So pretty easy to see evidence of mice.
Yeah.
I have never seen a live mouse in an attic.
Oh, really? They hide?
If I'm moving that access and everything, they're running away. And because they are far more afraid of me than I might be, which I'm not really afraid. I'm not afraid of a mouse.
No,
it might surprise you.
Yeah.
But yeah, a mouse isn't really going to do anything to me. So yeah, they're going to scatter. And so they're finding a way. And so one of the main reasons they're getting in is you have to trim away the vegetation away from your house.
Sure.
You really shouldn't have anything, trees, bushes, arborvitas, vines. My sons know I famously say that vines look great on somebody else's house.
Yes.
So, or in England on these houses, you know, 1,000-year-old masonry structures, that's where vines are okay, but not on our houses. They really should not be on our. But they climb up there and they get on your roof. They find a little gap and they get in your attic.
I was at a customer's house and they hadn't been to the side of their house in a while, and there were vines growing up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he started pulling them off, and a lot of them pulled off real easy. But there was a couple, like, he yanked on it. I thought he was going to pull the siding right off.
Yeah.
I'm like, this stuff really gets, it's grip.
Very intrusive.
Yeah, you don't want that stuff on your house.
Not only does it grab onto the siding, gets behind the siding, it'll get up and behind your fascia and soffit. And grow. I've seen it where I'm looking in the attic, I'm like, what is that? And it's a vine growing into the attic from, you know, it's gotten up through the soffit somewhere or through a vent or something. So not a good idea.
All right. When we come back, question on fire pits, 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Thanks for listening to The Fix-It Show.
Need advice? Call 855-616-1620. Our expert home inspector is here to help. It's The Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Dayton Kane and David Nason with you. Going to be a beautiful weekend. Partly cloudy, 62 near the lake today, a high of 70 as you get inland, and then it just gets warmer as the weekend goes on. It's 52 in Milwaukee, and I do have a question. So when I moved into my house, I dug up, I don't know,
The grave.
60 of these paver things out of the ground. Like, they had just sunk into the ground, and I found one. You know how it is. You find one, and you pull it up, and then, like, oh, there's another one. Yeah. It's like there was a patio there, but it just got buried.
Sure.
So I dug all these up. I'm like, what am I going to do with all these? So I made a fire pit. It was going to be a temporary fire pit. We've lived there 5 years now. It's still there. But all I did was I dug a hole. I put these around, and then I put gravel kind of at the bottom, or pea gravel, just to have some. So my question is, as I'm looking, Menards has a special right now for like $250. You can get all the pavers and the ring that goes in there and make a nicer looking one. And my wife's like, you should get that. I'm like, we've had this one for 5 years. Yeah. Nobody's complained when they're sitting around the fire that it's this. Why would I spend $250? Anyway, my question is, how important is that ring in there? Because I don't have a ring. I just have the block around there. Like, I've never had a fire start because I don't have a ring in there.
Are the bricks cracking?
I mean, they're pavers an inch thick.
Because I built one basically in my backyard with pavers, but they're like 6-8 inches wide by 12.
Yep, that's what these are.
Yeah, and everything. And I got a bunch of them that are cracked.
Oh, really?
We build a pretty big fire every once in a while.
I mean, mine is not pretty. I mean, it's broken pieces. I got to just kind of, but it works, right? It holds the fire. And we sit around it. It works.
The ring is basically going to protect the bricks.
That's what that's there for. So it doesn't heat up as much.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you think about
it. So it's not stopping the fire from getting out.
No.
It's protecting the brick.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
But if you think about it, that's what could be happening inside your chimney. So if you have a masonry chimney fireplace, you should be having it inspected maybe once a year, twice every 2 years or so. It depends on how often you use it.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is that flue tile can crack.
Sure.
Or can gaps over years, you know, can some settling or something, you can get gaps and then you can get a chimney fire. So they call it a level 2 inspection where they run a camera up there. Somebody in the Milwaukee area here, he calls it a chimnoscopy. that's Mike out at Quality Fireplace and Chimney and Fireplace. I might have that, but Quality, Mike came up with that years ago. And, but you really should have somebody look at your chimney because the damage that's up there, which why I always say that on an inspection, when you have a wood burning fireplace, you should have that checked out because A, you don't want a chimney fire, and B, it can be expensive to repair that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I decided to take mine out instead of fix it.
We took yours down instead of fixing
it. Because it was a pretty penny they were asking. I'm like, for the couple of fires I'm going to have.
But for your fire pit, I don't see it being a problem. I have a similar situation, and it's just the bricks, they're still stacked and they're not falling apart or anything, but they have cracks in them.
Yeah. Like I said, I've had it there for 5 years now and it hasn't been a problem.
You start a fire too quickly in a cold chimney or a fireplace or a fire pit, they're going to heat up very quickly and then they crack.
Gotcha. Somebody did chime in on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talking text line at 855-616-1620. I removed the vines from my 1930s Tudor land and stone home after I moved in 1988. Besides the vines did damage to the mortar.
Yeah.
It also did not allow the stone to dry out and a path for ants to get into my home.
Right.
So just another reason to get it off of there if you can.
Vines, one of the primary reasons is to trim vegetation back. A, we don't want animals climbing up, but B, you do want your house to breathe. You want, whether it's siding, any type of masonry, or stucco or whatever, you want the house to be able to dry out and breathe as needed. That's why on the north side of your house, you'll see, you know, a mold maybe growing on it. It's not really mildew. We could get it. Technically.
Mine turns green every year after pressure wash.
It's not mildew. Technically mildew only grows on the leaves of plants outside your home.
Okay.
And I've been told that by a microbiologist. So, but we use it interchangeably, mildew in your bathroom and everything. It's really a kind of a mold, you know, it's still an organic growth.
Yeah.
You know, so
good questions. Keep them coming. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. It is the Fix It Show.
David and Dayton. One guy knows what the heck he's talking about. We'll let you figure out which one it is. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
I mean, that's got to be pretty obvious.
Well, Dayton, depends what we're talking about. With you.
Isaac and the producers, Booth, Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction. They are our sponsor every week, and we thank them for doing that. It is Memorial Day weekend. My aunt in Florida just texted in, Dayton, if you're looking for a ring for your fire pit, find an old tractor rim and use that. We've seen that at some camping sites, so might be an easy way to go.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just fine. I'm going to leave it. I think Tracy wants me to make it look nicer. I'm like, we can be a little ghetto.
It's got some character now that it's
right,
got you know, you found pavers in your yard. What cooler? I actually went and bought some, so that's cooler. I got the fire pit out in the yard, but then on my deck, I have one of those smokeless ones, a solo stove.
Okay, yeah.
Those
are nice.
Yeah.
They throw off some heat. Do you have the heat deflector on top, too?
We do.
So when we do the Halloween party in Oconomowoc with our aunt and uncle, they have one of those, and we sit in the driveway.
Right.
That thing really keeps you warm.
And in order for them to work properly, you really have to get it hot because it's a double wall thing, so it's got vents around the bottom, and then it comes up.
Sure.
When it really gets cooking, just watching the flame going in and out of those holes is just really kind of cool.
Mesmerizing, so, actually. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So I think
agree.
You're fine with your
so, you're like fascinated with this book. Now,
yes,
every time we go to break, you're looking at that book, trying to see who you know in there, what places you see. So tell people again what that book is, because it is really a neat book.
Yeah, it's called As Good as New, A Guide for Rehabilitating the Exterior of Your Old Milwaukee Home. So,
and it's only from 1993, which surprises me because it looks like it's from like the 60s.
Right. And apparently, I don't know if they still have them, but you could try contacting the Department of City Development in Historic Preservation Planning staff in the city of Milwaukee, if that's even a department anymore.
Like I said, I bet the libraries each have one.
They could. Yeah. But it's pretty cool. It's got a lot of photos. A lot of good information. If you're a do-it-yourselfer and you want to do some updating, you have an older, more historic home, it's got a lot of good suggestions or recommendations of how how things were built, how you want to do them. So that's a good resource. Definitely.
That is one thing that you see over and over again is these older homes in Milwaukee that get bought, or any community that's been around a long time, and then the person just puts vinyl siding over it.
Right.
And just it looks like a box with vinyl siding on it. It's like, oh, that was such a nice looking home.
You drive through certain parts of the city and you're like, wow, these are some really, when I would love to have kind of, if you could go back and see what these houses were, what they looked like when they were brand new.
Yeah.
Just these were jewels in the city. And they still, for the most part, are. You drive up, some of the main streets that they're big. I mean, they're just impressive.
We sited a house on Lake, just off Lake Michigan, and we pulled the aluminum, that 70s big 8-inch aluminum off, and it was all this decorative stuff underneath. Unfortunately, it was all like, you couldn't save it, but it was like that house, when it was first built, had to be just amazing.
The amount of time it took.
And now we did LP and we did shake and we did, so it looks amazing again.
Right.
Still not as fine details as they did back in the day when they built those big duplexes or those two stories.
Where the carpenters were literally craftsmen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Making all those trim materials and
cool stuff.
Definitely.
I bet the next guy that's coming in next hour has painted some of those houses
done some repairs.
Making those intricate details pop on those old Victorians.
Some things are in good shape, but some things damaged. The reason a lot of that stuff's still in good shape is because of the lumber they use. It was old growth lumber.
Yeah.
Trees were a couple hundred years old when they cut them down.
Yeah. Matt Hefter from CertaPro is on next hour. We'll see how he paints those things up. It is the Fix-It Show.
This has been the Fix-It Show on WTMJ, presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.